fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who. Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, April 10th. It's splashdown day for Artemis 2. Probably by the time you heard this, I think they've already splashed down on the, you know, they were showing pictures of the back of the earth, back of the earth's head where it's just water. It's back there.
Oh, nobody knows.
All the
nobody
planets knows. Are just clustered on one side and then when it just turns around, it's like, yeah, we don't, pay no attention.
We don't know what's back there.
I mean,
all sorts of alien bases, government bases, creatures from beyond the white wall.
We heard our, what was it? Who was it just saying? Tim Burchett, the guy from Tennessee, was like, there's the 200 foot wide football field looking thing speeding under the water. We're like, well, probably we've been is. Telling you. We've been telling you, Tim.
The ocean's vast and we've, what, explored 5% still?
Yeah. We know more about the moon, I think, than the ocean.
Yeah.
And they were just there.
I mean, just looking at the moon with a telescope doesn't seem like there's a ton going on. But I can't look in under the ocean with, you know, a snorkel mask and really see what I'm dealing with.
Right. We would know if there was some sort of base being built on the moon because we could see it and a lot of people are looking at it. But you're right. There could be all types of nefarious underwater.
Could be.
King Titan or King Triton from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, King Titan could be down there too.
Both of them.
Who knows? Yeah, they could both be down there.
The whole crew.
Well, no water stories this week, but no. We will be in the vast wide ocean sooner than we think.
We'll make some water stories February 8th through 12th. Come see us, Crime Wave at Sea. Go to crimewaveatsea.com, use code SINISTER. Go for a boat ride with us, minimally. Just a little quick little five-day boat ride.
Yeah. Is water party what they call when people pee all over you?
Water sports, yeah.
Water sports, so okay. If
you want to do water sports on the cruise, I can't tell you what to do behind closed doors.
Oh, in the room?
I mean, where else are you going to do it?
On a beach.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, out
so then you don't have piss all in your room. Although I think people like Dexter style their rooms when they're... Who did I know that used to like either knew of this bar, worked at this bar or something? That there were like flyers everywhere and it would be like every Thursday... come on down for water sports night. And they would literally like cover the whole bar. And then people just pissed everywhere, I guess. I don't know. I've never been to one.
Come on down, you know, to Pee-Pee Town.
I don't need an invite. No, so no, I'm good. No. I'm good.
You
that's
can't.
Your thing. Cool.
That's fine to do. Not at a place where you're going to serve other liquid where things could get accidentally mixed up. That's not a good.
No, I don't want a good promo. Piss in my strawberry daiquiri. Thank you.
Not a good promotion at all. Well, we'll see you. Crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. Come aboard the ship with us. No one's pissing that I can tell on anybody today, but I would like to piss on a couple people we're talking about today because they're awful monsters.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Well, this first one's from Leanne and is called Timu Jeffrey Epstein. Content warning, this discusses child essay. One day back in the early 2000s, I was sitting at work when I got a call from my then husband that he had just been arrested for child SA, but it was obviously a huge misunderstanding. It wasn't. Come to find out that he was taking girls he knew along with him to his swimming pool maintenance calls, letting them swim, and then preying on their love of swimming in the different pools. He had a whole network of little girls, including my daughter. The psychological damage that followed was immense and cost me several years of no contact with my daughter and first grandchild. I don't blame her. In her eyes, I didn't protect her. Part of the reason is because he didn't include her in his plea because she wouldn't admit anything happened. She was 5 and he was the only dad she ever knew. I'm amazed at her strength to get herself back together as an adult and create an amazing family. We're fine now, but recently I had a flashback because he is suing the Mississippi prison system for deliberate indifference of his medical needs, and we get an email every time they, quote, release him for court. It's the Queen versus Mallet, if you want to look it up. It looks like it was dismissed and there is an appeal, and that's why he's having the hearings, but I don't know. Below is a Mississippi inmate profile. I think someone messed up his eye. Honestly, I'd like to thank them, but I know I shouldn't support vigilante justice. Me? I don't trust anyone. I recently went to a family member's funeral, and they were talking about how he bought things for his preacher's daughters, and my first thought was to check his hard drive. I hope my cynicism and mistrust goes away, but I'm in my 50s, and it's not looking good. I wanted to thank you for diving into the files as in-depth as you did, because I know that was mentally difficult. But it's good for all victims to know there is someone out there saying enough is enough. Anyway, enjoy pics of my master assassin Chihuahua Pug. Most of his targets are flies, but he's gotten a bee and a dragonfly before. Both made him question all of his life's choices.
Oh my gosh.
Well, look at that little old man. What a cutie.
I got a place in my heart for little Chihuahuas.
Oh,
yes. And I have a place at the bottom of my shoe for people like this man.
Dude. People that use their jobs in ways to prey on children. It's just, I mean, all of it, any type of preying. But like, you know, the innocence is what really gets to you. Of someone being excited to go swimming, a little girl. And then also the people at that house are like, well, Bill's here to clean the pool. Oh, I guess he brought his daughter so she can go swimming.
Mm-hmm. And not realizing what they're actually doing. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast today. I think it's called Adults in the Room, and it's the NPR affiliate out of Seattle. And it's people who are now adults in their upper 40s who went to this high school, and their science teacher was very gregarious and very charismatic, and everyone loved Mr. Hansen. And you got to go on camping trips with Mr. Hansen, and Mr. Hansen had a boat. Maybe you could be one of his junior rangers and go on the boat with him. Well, there was these rumors, and you know, the rumors spread. And now as adults, they're looking back and finding some of the people that as kids they had kind of heard rumors about, but then they approached as adults. And some of them are like, I've really, you know, I've gone through and had to kind of come to terms with what happened. And others were like, oh my God, yeah. Like, I didn't realize that him saying these things to me and just like the small boundary pushes. And it was all of these clever, friendly ways to get these kids alone. And really until you're, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later that you're like, oh my God, that happened to me.
Yeah.
So they're prolific. And that's what they're finding out with this teacher. I'm sure with this guy, you're like, it wasn't just the daughter, the other daughter. And it's like, of the handful, you know, it's sadly probably more.
It's kind of like what we talked about last Freaky Friday, where sometimes you have to be an adult before you realize, oh, that was really messed up what happened. Because at the time, like you said, it's just pushing little boundaries and you feel special and chosen. And that's intentional because, you know, they want you to feel that way. So you want to keep doing the things that get them alone. So that podcast sounds really interesting, and I bet a lot of those people are connecting about things they wish they didn't have in common.
100%. And like, I love the title Adults in the Room, because you really, once you do grow up, you're like, oh God, if I was in charge, I would never. And so I know, I'm sorry for your daughter and the struggle between y'all's relationship, but it sounds, from my very brief reading of his appeals, they are not likely to be successful. In fact, he was upset that the court refused to appoint another inmate to represent him. Like, it's just evidence. Yeah, it evidences a lack of understanding of the system. So it's, you know, they throw spaghetti at the wall and try to see what sticks, but it does not look promising for him. So for society at large, good. Let's keep him locked away. People like that.
I have a hard time feeling sorry for someone that's not having their medical needs met in prison.
I mean,
you know, you get when what you get. This is what they're in prison for. Like I've said, people that do this, we've got to send them to an island.
With laser beams, sharks with laser beams attached to their heads. Mm-hmm. So that would be something non-appealable under Judge Christie, is that the sharks with the laser beams are in fact a feature, not a bug. They're supposed to be there. So
they are supposed to be there. In fact, it's a mandatory
Yeah, mandatory. But I thank you for sharing your story with us. And I'm sorry that you keep getting those emails and retrigger. I'm glad you're being kept aware, but I know that's probably such a gut drop of like, oh no, not again, to bring it back up.
Yeah, or is he going to get out this time? Yeah.
Will it work? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sending that in. And thank you for sending your sweet little pup pics.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
If you've ever tried to get psychiatric care and hit a 6-month wait list or bounced around between sketchy websites just trying to find someone who takes your insurance, same. That's why we were so impressed with Talkiatry. It's actual psychiatric care with real doctors that works with your schedule and your insurance. It's not another meditation app. It's real help without the wait.
What makes Talkiatry different is that it's not just therapy. It's full psychiatric care. That means you're meeting with a licensed medical provider who can actually diagnose conditions like anxiety, ADHD, insomnia, and more. And they can prescribe medication if that's part of your treatment. It's 100% online, but it still feels personal and thoughtful. You're not rushed, and you're not left wondering what's next.
And the best part, it works with your insurance. No monthly subscription fees or paying out of pocket for every session. They have over 600 in-network clinicians, and getting started takes just a few minutes. You fill out a short assessment, get matched with someone who fits your needs, and can book your first appointment in days, not months. Talkiatry has helped over 300,000 people already, and it honestly just makes the whole process feel doable.
Head to talkiatry.com/creepy and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/creepy to get matched in minutes.
Well, this next one is from Anonymous and is called Not Just Anime. Content warning, CSAM. Hi, Christy and Heather. Your episode about 4chan brought back memories from my time in a local anime society. I hesitated to share this, but I think it's important to talk about the kinds of issues that can exist in these spaces. Like many elder millennials, I grew up obsessed with anime. Sailor Moon, Samurai Pizza Cats, and especially Neon Genesis Evangelion. I drew the characters, printed out images, and kept them in folders. Some I still have 30 years later. When I got to uni, I joined the Anime Society and threw myself into it. It was a mix of people. Most of us were misfits, myself included. Some people were incredibly intense. I remember someone crying because their favorite character died and saying they couldn't keep watching the series or be part of the fandom anymore. Their whole friend group had a meltdown over it. It was a lot. There was also an online forum where we all talked under usernames, and those names sort of carried over into real life. I even met my husband there before online dating was really a thing. As fun as the forum was, it could also be toxic. One male member once posted how he was a, quote, nice guy and upset that no one wanted to date him, then went on to complain that all the, quote, good women in the society were taken and only, quote, dogs were left. So, yeah. Then there was a situation where a member had a falling out with the exec and allegedly brought in people from 4chan to flood the forum with child sexual abuse material. A moderator caught it early, shut everything down, reported it to the police, and had to remove it himself. It was horrific and affected him deeply. In person, things weren't great either. Even though it was a uni society, anyone could join. Members ranged from about 12 years old to people in their 30s. And there were relationships. A guy in his late 20s with a 15-year-old, a 19-year-old with a 12-year-old. The president at the time reported concerns to police, but was apparently told the society wasn't liable and nothing could be done. As far as I know, I don't think anyone did anything about it. It honestly is one of my biggest regrets. I should have spoken up. I should have said something more clearly about how it wasn't okay. I ended up leaving not long after. My housemate defended one of these situations, saying the older person was, quote, mentally young, which was deeply unsettling. After a separate falling out, she spoke badly about me to others, and I lost many friendships. Looking back, I think part of me being ostracized was that I wasn't willing to go along with it. I wish the story ended there, but it doesn't. Years later, the same president I mentioned earlier was convicted in 2023 for possessing child sexual abuse material. millions of files, some of the worst categories. Seeing his face in the paper was shocking. It also made me question whether he really reported concerns back then. Anime fans aren't bad people. I've met some genuinely lovely people through it, and some are still my friends. But predators exist in all spaces, especially where younger and older people mix, and where content can blur boundaries. I also don't think parents always realize that anime is often made for adults and not just for children. Anyway, I really appreciate the work that you both do. Much love, Anonymous.
Man, these spaces like this, especially, you know, 10, 15 years ago in the early days of the internet, there really weren't a lot of PSAs. You know, it'd be like, you know, Stranger Danger eventually kind of came around to the internet age. But in this case, you're like, well, it's not a stranger. It's, you know, Jason. He's my friend from anime. It's like Jason's 29 and you're 13. Like, that's not your friend, right?
12 and 19 is bananas.
Yeah, as is like late 20s and a 15-year-old.
I mean,
like,
all of it. All of it.
Yeah. Well, don't blame yourself, Anonymous. The predators the ones to blame. Yeah.
You sharing this alone is doing something now. So, you know, and leaving too. And you're probably right. That guy didn't report what you told him to the police because he was doing the same thing, you know?
And if the people ostracized you because you're like, hey, this is kind of weird. I don't think we should be doing it. That is the best kind of people to get kicked out of. It does not feel good at the time. Any type of rejection, you know, we have that animal feeling in us. Like, we want to be part of the pack. But if the pack is rotten, it's a good time to leave the pack. So good for you for leaving, because that's the kind of stuff that it is, like, it becomes the group norm. And before long, it's the same. It's not the cult, like a cult, but it's the same type of psychology, I think, that leads to a cult, where you're just like, well, one little thing's okay. Well, so the next thing's okay. And the next thing. And I'm sure not just the online aspect, the username aspect, and the adopting aspects of anime. It's much like furries or something else, where they're not a big group of predators, but oftentimes fantasy, playing pretend, is an easy way for people to groom others. So just being vigilant everywhere.
Costumes, you know, I mean, seeing a 12-year-old in a Sailor Moon costume for some guy is, definitely going to do it. And that's not to say 12-year-olds shouldn't watch that show. I am probably the most inexperienced person when it comes to anime. Like, I recognize Sailor Moon, the name, but I never watched it. I never really got into it. But I know from several friends that did that, a lot of it is not for kids.
No, it could be like, I knew a guy I dated, I mean, many, many years ago, you know, would have like box sets of anime DVDs and stuff. And I'd never watch it really attentively with him. But if he was watching, I remember being like, oh, there's like shooting and fighting. And it's not like Dragon Ball Z or Power Rangers, like more intense than that, almost more like noir film type of stuff, but animated.
And nudity?
Or not even nudity, but like plunging necklines seduction kind of storylines and things. And it runs the gamut. It's like saying cartoons aren't for adults or kids. Well, some cartoons are for kids and some cartoons are South Park. And like sometimes kids watch the ones that they're not supposed to. So I can see with anime though, in this early kind of, the early era of it being the online mix, where kids maybe don't have the vigilant parents that we all have, that we all hopefully are now.
They're ending up in a chat room with 30-year-olds and maybe they know and they're just like, well, they're nice. Or maybe they don't know at all until they go to one of those meetings and they've been groomed so long online that then when you see them in person, I think that's a really good point of predators existing, especially where older and younger people mix, and how that the content that they're both interested in and therefore blurs boundaries easily.
For sure. And it could happen as easily with, you know, a graphic novel series or anything like that, that people like both of them. But I've seen a number of posts on threads recently from women who are much younger than me, but who have come to realize now that the relationships, in quotes, that they had with men online that they met when they were 12 to 15 years old, that they thought, these girls thought they had a boyfriend and they didn't think they were being groomed. They were happy that this 25-year-old wanted to talk to them and they felt awesome. And then realizing in retrospect, like, it is insane for a 25-year-old to text a seventh grader and be what did you wear to school today? Who did you talk to at school today? I would go to, if someone was texting any three of my nieces, I'd go to their house and kill them. I mean, full stop. But these young ladies at the time were like, oh, I didn't think there was anything to report to my family because like, this was my boyfriend. We were in love. And you just, God, it's so horrifying how easy predators can get a hold of a kid because the kid doesn't know to like watch out for that.
The internet really upped the access to victims and the amount of material that a predator could see and download and share. I mean, it would be a really interesting study of the internet to see how high the statistics of someone committing a child sexual abuse act increased once the internet came along.
Oh, I mean, yeah. And it's one of those with just access, you know, it's like, well, the Robert Morris, let's take the Gateway Church guy that just got 6 months. He's a spiritual advisor to the president, only served 6 months because he had abused a girl. I mean, God, 40, 50 years ago or something. And like we always say, oh, we think it was just the one.
Right.
Well, you know, it is understandable, a person who has that much access to kids, that he has that much access, everyone's going to just nod their head and say yes. Well, not everybody's the leader of a church. Not everybody's a scout leader. Not everybody's got their own pool business. So I think where the predation was more by convenience, it really is like on demand. As convenient as it is to order DoorDash, right?
Yeah.
Like you're just getting on an app going, where is it? Rubble. I would not Rubble. Whatever the apps are the kids are hanging out on.
Yeah.
That might be where they're going, you know, or forums or whatever. So
Roblox is definitely one.
It's one of them for sure. Yeah. So it's an eerie thing to know. You should have heard me sitting next to my nieces on Easter. They both had their Switches out and were playing Minecraft. And one was telling the other, come in this room. And they were each on their own Switch, but they were like remotely able to go in the same rooms with each other. And so they were like, oh, some guy just walked in the room. And I went, who's on your Minecraft? She goes, Aunt Heather, it's an NPC. She was like, it's like a turtle. Like, it's not a person. I said, can anybody get in there? And she said, only my dad. And I said, okay, okay. She said, it's a private server. It's locked down. I said, because if anybody tries to talk to you, she's like, we know. I was like, okay, I'm just saying, have fun. But like, the second I heard somebody walked in the room, I felt like, because I was the only adult in the room with them. And I was like, I have to listen to what you're doing while you play. Luckily, they're responsible, but goddamn, that was scary.
Well, even being responsible, you can't tell if someone's lying to you over the computer, you know?
Right, right. So I was like, luckily it says, like, this is a machine, like, it's not a real person. So I was like, happy, but just the idea, like, it just makes your stomach drop. So I'm proud of you, Anonymous, for coming forward to tell your story today, because you're right, while it's not all anime fans, it can be any group, like, you know, comedians. It could be any. We know that there's sex predator comedians. So some for of them have new Netflix specials. So thank you, Anonymous, for reminding
us. To echo the very first story, which I meant to touch on, I also don't trust anyone anymore. So, you know, Leanne, you're not alone in that. It's when you see the kind of stuff that we see on a daily basis, it's really hard to look at people the same.
I'm like an onion with my trust, and most people are like, they don't even touch the onion, and like four people have the core center part of the onion and the rest of it's like in layers around it, because it's just too, you know, it's like, yes, I may trust you to pick my mail up for me, but I'm not going to trust you to babysit. I'm not gonna trust you in my house, you know? It's like, there are certain, we got to assess every person and not just automatically be like, this seems like a nice person.
I'm sure they are.
A lot of them do seem like a nice person when they're asking you to help them to their yellow VW Beetle with the broken foot.
Yeah, that's how they get away with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you, Anonymous, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. I've been doing a little spring reset with my closet lately, focusing more on pieces higher quality over quantity. Just building a wardrobe of pieces that are well made, versatile, stuff that's easy to reach for every day. It's why I keep coming back to Quince. It's because the fabrics feel elevated, the outfits thoughtful, and the pricing actually makes sense.
We are talking lightweight cotton cashmere sweaters, denim that fits like it was made just for you. Their spring pieces are lightweight, breathable, and effortless. The kind of things you can throw on, but you instantly look put together.
Quince uses 100% European linen. Their cotton poplin is crisp and holds its shape. The gauze is soft without being flimsy. Everything Quince makes is built to hold up season after season. The stitching, the fit, the fabrics. These are pieces you're going to reach for over and over. Quince clothing is consistently rated 4.5 to 5 stars by thousands of customers. Real people wearing these pieces every day and actually loving them. You're talking about throwing on instantly and put together. My washable stretch silk V-neck cami and deep orchid, it just dresses up. We went to go see a concert. I was like, last minute, like, I got to look hip for this thing. And I looked so cute in it. And I am not worried because it's washable.
I recently, my most recent Quince purchase, I'm very excited about because I love the color purple, especially when it's like a light lavender. And I got the 100% organic cotton poplin tiered maxi dress in pastel lilac. Beautiful. And it is just so easy. It looks so classy. You just throw it on with sandals. I look like I'm like got my shit together and I'm like, this literally took 2 seconds to throw on. It would have taken more time to put on pants and a shirt.
Hot shit. That's my girl walking out looking fly.
Right now, go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's the full year to wear it and love it. And you will. Now available in Canada, too. Don't keep settling for clothes that don't last. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/creepy. This next one is from Ellie. And it's called Bookstore Bastard. Hey friends, Walmart Child Bride Freaky Friday story here. I just finished listening to Freaky Friday 208, and something you said brought up a memory for me that I'd like to share here. A few years ago, I was working at a local used bookstore in my city. The store was owned and run by a wonderful father-daughter duo that I became very close to and still keep in touch with to this day. The dad was a semi-crotchety 70-something-year-old man who just loves his books, and his daughter is a total badass who has become a mama bear figure for me throughout my 20s. One Saturday, the owner, we'll call him P, was moving some books from one section to another, and I was left to man the front counter. It was slow that day, so this was pretty typical. The phone rang, and I answered in my typical friendly customer service voice I mastered in college. XYZ Bookstore, how can I help you? It was a man on the other end.
Hey, yeah, I have a book I'm looking for. Let me just finish my load quick and I'll get you the title.
Me, being a naive 23-year-old girl, thought it was weird he was making a phone call while doing laundry, but whatever. I said, it was no problem and I'm ready when he has the title. All I heard on the other end was shuffling and moaning noises. I said, sir, what was the name of that book again? And in response, he aggressively said, I told you I have to drop a load first, followed by more shuffling and moaning. This is the moment my heart dropped. My face got red hot, and before I could even think to do anything, the moan stopped, he thanked me, and hung up. I had no idea what just happened, but I knew it was wrong and made me uncomfortable. I went to the call log to see if I could find a number and report it to the cops, but it was restricted. So I tried calling it back, and it said it was no longer in service. So many things ran through my head at once. Do I tell P what happened? Did I really just help a freak jack up on the phone without realizing it? Am I being watched? Does he know it's me that's here and he's been waiting for a moment to call? Is it a customer or a regular? I should have realized what was happening and stopped the interaction sooner. Will he call again, now thinking I was okay with it and be a repeat caller? Most days, it was me or P's daughter at the store. Did he know that? He had to have known a woman would answer, right? Would he have done it to P if he had answered the phone? He had to have some knowledge of the store to know that. Thankfully, it was only 10 minutes until my shift was over. I walked to my car alone, in the dark, and terrified the man on the phone was watching me or following me. I didn't tell anyone what happened until the next day, but I told my mom, my friends, and my therapist. It took a week before I felt brave enough to tell P's daughter what happened, and she told P. In her mama bear feminist rage, she made sure I was never alone at the store, and I didn't have to answer the phone if I was uncomfortable. Unfortunately, I didn't report the incident, but I'm so thankful I had P and his daughter supporting me in the workplace. In Freaky Friday 208, you mentioned that just because you weren't touched doesn't mean it's not assault, or something with that sentiment. This hit me hard and is what my friends and therapists told me at the time. It took a long time for me to actually realize that it was sexual harassment and that I was a victim in that situation. I honestly think you saying that snapped that fact into place in my mind. Thank you for creating the space to share stories like this. It helps people reflect and potentially process things they have gone through, like I was just able to do for myself. Your work is a meaningful, bright spot, even if the world feels like the seventh circle of hell. I have attached photos of my sweet Millie and Rudy to fulfill the pet tax. Light and love, Ellie.
Aw, Ellie, first of all, they're very cute puppies. So also a bright cute. Spot in the seventh circle
that
of hell life.
Made me laugh while reading it. Both when I read it the first time and then again. Because seventh circle of hell is just a funny way to put it. Well, Ellie, I'm so glad that us discussing that allowed you to kind of process some stuff and feel less alone, because I had to check that we hadn't already covered this story, because we've had like two or three other people write in with almost the exact same story, just a different type of store.
Different kind somebody, of pervert.
Yeah, calling, candles, making them uncomfortable, jerking off, hanging up. And I would say, I mean, it could be possible that he called the store specifically and knew you would answer. It's also really likely he just calls around to stores and does it to whoever. And if he lucks out and a girl answers the phone, it's go time. Maybe even not, you know, but I just for your own peace of mind, you know, I think it's a strong possibility that it was unfortunately you that answered the phone and he's just a sick pervert.
Yeah, it was not necessarily personal that it was trying to track y'all down. But and like you said, it just called every business on the block doing that. But yeah, we talked about the paper shredder pervert previously. And there was also the guy that called in about sex toys, I think, at a farm, you know, CVS, Walgreens kind of a thing. So it seems to be the problem is not the people working at these jobs making an honest living, but the goddamn perverts that keep picking up the phone. So we need robust call tracing, and I look forward to a world in which you can't have a restricted number and we could come to your house and beat you for this.
That is really interesting that it was restricted and you called back and it was disconnected. That leads me to believe this isn't a first time thing. He has some type of burner phone he does this on, you know, and probably does it all the time and is a sick fuck. And unfortunately, some people get off just making people uncomfortable, and that's just their kink. And it is not one that somebody that is not consenting should have to be exposed to.
And I think that's the issue, is that it's these kind of, I don't want to say compulsion, but it seems to be where the shock and the disgust is part of it, much like the guy at the zoo last week and this fella. And then I did not realize that a thing that's been happening on the internet, perhaps something we should all be aware of, is men doing this and sneaking their semi-erect or erect penises into an otherwise seemingly innocent Instagram or TikTok video. By that, I mean, perhaps he says like outfit of the day and he's like showing you his outfits, but you know, showing you that he's going to like take off his pajama pants. And while he perhaps has on like boxer briefs, he has like a half chub or a fully erect penis. And it like flops out like intentionally, like to where you're perhaps watching the video to be like, oh, this is a husband and wife showing off their outfits. And then the dick just bounces in the middle of it. And I did not, at first I thought, how embarrassing.
You see it?
No, it's not bare,
or
but it's
blurred.
It is the outline of an erect penis through boxer shorts.
Okay. It doesn't flop out like you fully see it exposed.
No, but it flops out to where it's like the camera's like on it and almost like it's like snuck in there. And I was just like, how embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Much like you, Ellie, when you're like, oh, he must be doing laundry. I was like, oh my gosh, this poor guy, how embarrassing that he's posted this. Well, then I checked comments and so many people were like, I am sick of this shit. Another one. I can't believe there's another one. And I had no idea this was a thing.
I hadn't heard of that either.
No, but I guess it's kind of this like, you want to force people to accidentally see your dick or hear you do something or like something about the unsuspecting nature, like makes them love it.
Yeah. And, like a flasher.
Yeah. Yes. And someone goes,
digital
this
flasher.
Bing, bing, bing. Someone goes, this is digital flashing. And I was like, I've never heard of that, but so
I
be
just
aware.
Thought of that. So
copyright, copyright, but it's true.
Yeah. And like we talked about, I don't remember if it was on the show or just in person, how all of these things have always been going on, and now it's just done digitally most of the time. So people have been going into stores and flashing their junk for a long time. Now they do it online, and yeah, maybe it's the thrill of it. I would also say, for if you ever think, oh man, I bet they wish nobody had seen that, they rewatch those videos and edit them before they post them. That goes for anybody, unless you're live. So anything that happens in that video, they could have taken it out and they made the choice not to.
And even as I like to think fairly grizzled as I remain, given our show, that I was like, that was my first thought of like almost giving someone an innocent out of like, oh man, that must be embarrassing for that guy. Or like you, Ellie, being like, oh, well, he's probably just doing his laundry. It sounds like he's really struggling. So I don't think it's a bad thing to have to attribute good intentions to people. Unfortunately, we do get taken advantage when we do that. But you did nothing wrong in this case other than literally trying to be nice and help somebody find a book, which is one of the nicer things you could do for folks.
Yeah,
so
for
may
sure.
a book slam down on this man's dick once a day, every day for the rest
every
of his
day.
Life. And he hates it.
It should get slant, like he has to lay it in the middle of the book and then two people, whoever, get to slam it together as hard as they want.
We're going to press it like a flower betwixt the pages and allow it to dry and float like a little windsock on my back porch. Well, thank you, Ellie, for that. Sinisterhood will be right back. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences.
I love being in my bed. Maybe more than any other place in the house. That is where I'm found the most. I like to work from there. I obviously sleep from there. It's just so comfortable that I have to like sometimes force myself to get out of bed.
Like,
you know?
I gotta go.
I've been in this bed too long today. But that's Helix, how comfortable it is.
It's seducing me, this Helix bed. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I've been focusing. I'm like, I want to get good, solid, restful sleep. And I literally only have to control things outside my mattress. Because no matter if it's hot, the Helix definitely helps me with the temperature control if I have wonderful sheets on top of my mattress. So I'm getting the solid night's sleep I need because I know like I'm not going to toss and turn all night. And if I don't know the now two dogs that sleep in the bed with us or my husband move around, I don't even know what's happening.
I had a 5-year-old, well, every night, come to bed last night and sleep horizontally between Tommy and I. And like, even with his feet in my face, I was like, I'm still comfortable. I can't lie.
Helix. The Helix will keep you sleeping. Buying a mattress used to feel overwhelming, but taking the Helix sleep quiz made it so easy. It matched both of us with mattresses that were based on how each of us sleep. And now I know I look forward to going to bed every night. Yeah. Always. Delivery's quick. It's free. You get a 120-night trial. Gives you total peace of mind. Helix has won a ton of awards, and we both know why. It's the best part of my house is my Helix.
That's why I spend so much time there. Go to helixsleep.com/creepy through April 16th for their spring savings event to get 20% off site-wide.
That's helixsleep.com/creepy through April 16th for their spring savings event to get 20% off site-wide. helixsleep.com/creepy. This next one is from Jessica, and the subject line is The Black Cat Serial Killer or Deathly Omen. Hi, ladies. First things first, thank you so much for being you. I've been listening since before 2020. During the pandemic, I was virtually teaching seven-year-olds while wrangling two kids under four, and the daily walks I took with you guys yapping in my ears truly saved my sanity. Anyway, on to the story of my family's many eerie encounters surrounding my dad's death. Back in 2012, my dad had a dream that really shook him up. So bad, he told my mom about it. In the dream, he was on the phone with a dead relative, and they told him that he was dying and he had 6 months to live. Unsettling for sure, but everyone has weird dreams. Well, a few months later, my dad was unfortunately diagnosed with terminal brain cancer at the age of 59 and given 6 months to live. Maybe his dream was a message from beyond the grave. Maybe it was his body's way of telling him that something was wrong. Either way, it was a complete shock. He was a perfectly healthy guy until he wasn't. We were very grateful for the time we were given to prepare for his passing, but it was a grueling what ended up being 7 months. The closer time got to his passing, there were many touch-and-go moments, and the not knowing how much longer we would have him with us was so hard on our family and on him. My mom is a big believer in spirit guides or guardian angels and would sometimes talk to hers and ask for a sign of when it would happen. She heard a voice tell her the 19th, so she put a mark on the 19th. I don't think that was really such an odd thing to do because if a spirit voice really did speak to her, she wanted to make sure we believed her. On October 18th, I got the call that my dad was asking for me and it could be time. He fell into a coma that night and passed the next day, the 19th. My family can sometimes have a dark sense of humor, but no, she didn't help move things along so that her calendar date would be right, although we still joke with her about it. That's not the only strange thing that happened during this time. A few weeks before my dad passed, a new cat began wandering around the neighborhood. Well, not so much the neighborhood as my mom's yard. He would hang out on her back porch. One time, she was telling my aunt and uncle about this cat, and when they looked up, he, or she, the cat, was looking through the glass door on her back porch, staring at them. When my dad passed, he didn't come around anymore until 2 months later, our neighbor passed of a heart attack at relatively the same age as my dad. Same thing. The cat showed up a week or so before and never showed up again after. Until, and I swear to God, this sounds so crazy, but 2 years later, another neighbor who had battled breast cancer for years finally passed. The same thing. This cat can either smell death, is a serial killer in disguise, or is some scary-ass omen. Either way, when I see a black cat, I nope the fuck out of there. Not gonna get me. I'm more of a dog person anyway. Sorry to my cat friends. Ladies, I truly feel like I could go on about all the weird shit that happened during that time, and even after. Seeing a growling dog at 3 a.m. during my time of grieving, hearing my dad's voice years later in the middle of the night coming through my kid's walkie-talkie, or maybe it just sounded kind of staticky and robotic, or maybe the psychics my mom spoke to that got too many things eerily right. I don't know, maybe my family's just batshit crazy, but I swear we're a nice, normal, functional family. Christy, my kids are close in age to yours. I have an older girl and a boy. My daughter reminds me of your Ella and is also into spooky things and wonderful. And here's to raising girls who make strangers uncomfortable and boys who help make the world a better place to be in by being good people, which shouldn't be hard, but for some reason it is. We also have guineas. I've included a picture of our guinea pig Pork Chop for tax. I also included a picture of my sweet, spooky loving mom and my dad on what we knew was our last family vacation together. They both look so happy, even though it was a really terrible time, which is just a reminder when things are absolutely terrible, you can still find some joy. Thanks for being you. If you ever visit Asheville, North Carolina, I hope I get the chance to meet you both.
I've been wanting to go to Asheville for a long time, so I hope that too.
Take me.
Before we get to the heavier stuff, Pork Chop?
Stop it.
Obsessed.
Little Pork Chop's little paws are silly.
How do you get your guinea pig to be on carpet and not in their enclosure and not poop everywhere? And this is question is for anybody that has guinea pigs because we can't let them out. One, they don't really like to be handled, but I mean, the amount of just pee and poop that comes out of them is quite extraordinary.
They are, maybe we can't see it, but Porkchop's got a little Porkchop diaper on. But Porkchop,
maybe so.
Porkchop looks like it's fixing to give you directions on how to get to the next realm or perhaps some advice, like very much
yes.
like,
yes.
Oh, yes. And your sweet picture of your parents
oh, yeah.
sharing That's, their drink together.
I bet that is one of both of their favorites. And that is such a hard thing. Like, you know, it's going to be the last family vacation. And that is impossible to not have looming over you or in the back of your mind the whole time you're still trying to have fun.
Yeah. Because you
but kind
I'm
of glad
know.
You still had fun.
No, truly. And this is an interesting series of events to have. Yeah. Not only your dad almost have this premonitory, but then your mom having the premonitory of the date. That is
Those are
folks,
both wild.
You're very folks very in touch with the other side. It sounds like you're open to messages. And as far mm-hmm. as the black cat, I feel like, you know, when we did the Season of the Witch show, we talked a little bit about familiars and cats and things like that. But in folklore across various traditions, black cats, you know, can mean different things. In Japan, they might mean good luck. In Scotland and England, it might be, you know, prosperity is coming or something like that. But I wonder if this specific cat, I don't know, some kind of, like you said, spirit guide or something, making sure everybody's, or it's just a really empathetic, good-hearted cat that's like, oh, these folks are going through it. I'll go around and show my cute fluffy tail and make them feel better. I don't know.
It's bizarre. The 2-year gap. Mm-hmm. Also, especially if it was the same cat coming back each time. That, I mean, I do think there's something even scientifically where animals are able to detect sickness.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe it was something along those lines, but truly bizarre, eerie, comforting, especially
right.
your mom getting the 19 and that, I mean, the dream alone, all of it is, seems like not unintentional.
Yeah. Like you're, well, and you said your mom's a big believer in spirit guides or guardian mm-hmm. angels or whatever. So whatever entities, spirits, Holy Spirit, whatever spirit it is, something is not only around, but willing to be communicated with you, which that's another thing I was reading. People were talking about having what they felt like spirits around their house. And someone said, I almost get clairaudience. Like indications, but they said for a while it was just really loud, that it was almost like moving. And they finally were like, you can be here, but you got to close the door. Like whatever mm-hmm. I can hear, shut it down. And they said after that, they didn't really hear stuff. And I was like, I mean, on the one hand, you're happy that the sound stopped. But on the other hand, what the fuck were those sounds? What was that?
Well, they've stopped. So really, that's all I care about.
Yeah. Until they begin again at 3 a.m. Yeah. at the witching hour. But
they listen to you. So that's a good thing. But yeah.
Give you an update. You know, if your mom says, like, please just let me know. I want to know when it's time or something. That can be a moment of comfort.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for sending that one in to us, Jessica. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. This next one's from Amelia, and the subject line is, I hate my racist school. Ladies, where do I even begin? Today has been so hard. Thank you for everything you do. Let's just get into it, I guess. For context, I go to a very prominent school in the Deep South. It's known to be a very conservative, very white school, despite the progressiveness of the town itself. And today, it's just really getting to me. In my second class of the day, in the middle of the lecture, the door opened and someone confidently said the N-word slur and shut the door again. Hard R and everything. Not that it would be any less offensive without the hard R, but I feel that matters in this context. We didn't even see who did it. It happened so fast and my entire class was stunned to silence. I'm a white woman, but this was honestly so triggering for me. First of all, seeing the fear on my professor's face was heartbreaking. She was terrified. She locked the doors immediately. I assume her fears stemmed from the shootings that ravage our country every day. My roommate is a teacher, and I see how upset and anxious she gets on the days her school has active shooter drills. And just the fact that someone really had the audacity and probably thought it was funny to interrupt our class with this. We had to end class early, which I would usually be ecstatic about, but in this case, I was pissed. It just sent me off thinking about how for the past, what, a decade at this point, our president and his ass kissers have emboldened people like this and normalized this disgusting ideology. Trump has shown everyone with hate in their hearts that they're allowed to take it out on people of color or simply anyone they deem less than. And that just makes me so sick. I did report this incident to the school, but I honestly don't have a lot of hope that anything will be done. I could see this type of incident being easily brushed off, especially considering this next part. Later on, I was riding the bus to my next class when I looked up to see, that's right, a fucking Turning Point USA poster advertising the rally they are having at my fucking school next week. As if I wasn't already disgusted enough, JD Fart and Erica Fuck come into my goddamn school. And the worst part is, I'm so slammed with classwork, I can't even skip class that day to avoid the Nazi infestation. I'm just so upset, I'm at a loss for words. How can my school allow this? I know it's a conservative school, but at this point, it's just so appalling that people can still support these hateful delusions and blatant lies. Don't even get me started on the guilt. How can I be so upset when I'm the one who came to the school in the first place? I'm actively funding them by attending the school. Every day, I'm so overwhelmed with my schoolwork, and then I remember that this administration is bombing innocent people, ripping families apart, and raping children. How can I ever be sad or upset about anything but these atrocities? I feel so guilty that I have the privilege to cry over my grades. I feel so guilty that I have the privilege to write this at all. I'm just so lost right now. I want to do my part and help the community, but I can't even find the time in my schedule with work and school. I feel like a fucking performative activist. All I do is post on my Instagram story because I never have time to attend protests because I always have work and homework. Thank you for reading. I love you guys. Signed, a very tired and guilty college student.
Amelia, I could guess what this school is, but I'm not going to.
I do have an idea.
Absolutely wild to open the door and just screen that into a classroom of unsuspecting people. Again, like everyone was just harassed by that. And if there were black people in your class, if it was triggering for you as a white woman, I mean, imagine how they feel. You said it's predominantly white, so I'm not sure, you know, but the Turning Point USA, yeah. I mean, with everything else you've said about your school, that doesn't surprise me, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the type of schools that Turning Point USA targets because they don't care if someone opens the door and says the N-word with a hard R. They're okay with that. You know, yeah. They've said it themselves. So as far as the guilt, I don't know your situation, but I mean, if you feel this passionately about it, consider transferring schools. I don't think I could also give money to an institution that I know supports Turning Point USA to the point where they allow them to come on school to have a rally, you know?
Yeah, the really tough part is Turning Point USA is becoming insidiously ubiquitous. And it is like they're trying to get it into high schools. They're trying it much like with the Prager University, all of these very entrenched corporate right-wing education companies before they were like, it was kind of like, you know, you can be here and it's, you know, we can't tell you not to be on campus. It's a public property. When I was in college at University of Illinois, Chicago, the Westboro Baptist Church came and protested on a certain part of campus. And students were like, why are you letting Westboro come? And the campus made it very clear, like, you can counter protest. We're a public university, so we actually can't tell them not to come here. But they for sure weren't like, come on down and see Westboro Baptist Church. Yeah. They're awesome. You know, it was just like, they are here. Do with that what you will. Like, we'll have state troopers out so no one gets into a fight. But yeah, it's hard especially if you feel like you're constantly working, you constantly have homework, and you can't transfer, and you do feel like you're stuck. You can be the person at these places, in those spaces, and not to say you did anything wrong or anything like that, but you know, speaking to, like you said, you reported it to the school, speaking to the professor and saying, like, even just a moment of, hey, I want you to know that was so scary and that really wasn't okay. And I'm sorry you had to deal with that. And thank you for taking care of us and closing the door.
And just like, are you okay?
Yeah. Are you okay? Just like tiny moments like that, or classmates that also seem shook about it. Kind of that recognition and the, like we talked about with the anime crew of like, you know, that guy just dates a young kid and that's just what we do here. It's like, mm-hmm. It's just what we do there until it isn't. And so I'm not saying you're the one woman wrecking crew that's going to be the one that, you know, changes this gross university.
You could be.
But you could be. And if not, at the very least, you can make some waves before you mm-hmm. leave. So, you know, when you say you want to do your part and help the community, just any way that you can double time. And by that, I mean, like, if you're at work and your work's like, we'll pay you to have a day off to volunteer, like, take that. Or you're doing your homework and you can choose to write a paper on anything, choosing mm-hmm. it to write on something that you can better educate yourself about or something like that. So any, you know, I think we often feel that our gestures have to be like humongous. But if at every moment you're just like, what's the next best thing I can do that's going to help me get through this so I can be out of here practicing whatever my career is going to be and help the world that way? But in the interim, there's, you know, maybe a tiny little step you can take so mm-hmm. you don't feel so despondent.
Yeah. Performance activist is, and I'm not saying that's what you are, but that's just a really good way to sum that up, because there are a lot of those, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, I'll change my profile pic. But that's and to let everyone know that I'm on the right side, but I'm not going to go really do anything about it. And you're mm-hmm. like, okay, what does changing your profile pic really do except send up kind of virtue signaling that, like, I'm on the right side as a white person, I promise.
Yeah, versus like finding ways to volunteer and actually mm-hmm. go into the community and stuff. And so, like I said, it doesn't have to be all day, every day, but you might have one free day a month and that's when you go work at the DV shelter. You go work to help pack boxes of groceries for unemployed people, or you go help, you know, folks at the immigrant center, you know, whatever they need. There's all types of, Paris is just now getting plugged into the nonprofit community in Dallas. And working at Legal Aid, I was like, I have kind of a handle on what nonprofits, so I don't have a fucking clue. There is such a huge, vast network that I just have no idea about. So I'm sure it's like that. And in places where the colleges are like this, there's a great need for, you know, nonprofits to be doing stuff. So maybe you could jump in with them. I don't know.
I also would imagine you're not the only person that feels this way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it does just take one person saying, that was all fucked up, right? Like, we shouldn't allow this. And, you know, that's how groups get started. And you get a group of like-minded people that can, maybe not all of you can go out to protest one day, but some of you can. But at least you have, like, a community that you're building to be on the right side and try and change things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at the very least, you recognize that it's bad and you want to do something mm-hmm. better. And hey, that's the first, you're about 50 steps ahead of everybody else who was like, oh, that guy was funny. He just like opened the door and said that. Like, at least you're doing better than them people. So there's that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm glad to hear your class was stunned into silence mm-hmm, because, mm-hmm. I mean, how could you not be? You're like, what?
Right?
Out of nowhere. And like, what type of person does that? You just were walking down the hall and thought this would be funny. You got dared at some kind of hazing for something. I mean, whatever the reason, you're an asshole. And I hope you're having the day you deserve.
Yeah. And yeah, it's so embarrassing to do that. Like, what grade are we in?
Yeah.
But evil and hateful. Well, thank you, Amelia. And thank you for you sticking with it. I mean, it's tough every day doing anything, but something hopeful like going to college. I commend you that you're still going despite the world being on fire, because guess what? We're going to be the ones that put it out. So mm-hmm. thank you. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back. This final one is from Amber, and the subject line is Freaky Friday number 208, U.S. history teacher chiming in. Hey, y'all, I'm an 11th grade U.S. history teacher in Louisiana. So when you asked in 208 for parents of students in high school history to chime in about the extent to which domestic terrorism and mass shootings are taught, I figured I'd write. Unfortunately, Columbine, Sandy Hook, Las Vegas, the Charleston church shooting, etc. are not part of our standards. The Oklahoma City bombing and Waco are. And since my standard says domestic terror, I take that as permission granted to teach my students about the other acts of atrocity perpetrated by horrible people so they understand the current debate, why is there even one, I do not know, about gun control and public safety in America. When I taught in Houston, the TECS, or standardized test for U.S. history, also didn't cover these events. But I did, because I teach history, and all of that is under the umbrella of U.S. history. So I dared Marath to come for me. Honestly, I dared that a lot. I'd love to go 10 rounds with that man in a ring. Louisiana is going the direction of other states and overhauling our social studies standards to be more vague, more American exceptionalism instead of American truth. I tell my kids every fall that there's a difference between patriotism and nationalism, and my goal is by the end of my course, they can identify the difference. On an end note, Louisiana provided all public school teachers with a legal-sized poster of the Ten Commandments and mandated that we post them in our classrooms. These posters have a picture of a bust of Moses on one side and Mike Johnson, slimeball of the house, on the other. It's state law that it be posted in our classrooms. Mine is hidden behind a life-size cardboard cutout of Teddy Roosevelt because fuck that shit. I'm really hoping for a free ticket for a front row seat at the Supreme Court over this. Love and light, Amber. And for those of you curious, Marath is the, in my opinion, unqualified private sector tech investor who was appointed to be in charge of the Texas Education Administration and then was put in charge of Houston Public Schools to kind of crack down and reconfigure the schools. And,
yeah, he sucks shit.
Terrible job. Terrible job. Just if you're not in Texas and we're familiar.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've been seeing the Ten Commandment posters at schools around here. I have not seen them at my kids' schools, but they are at some schools, and it's a real fucking bummer. And it's also a real bummer that they cherry pick which domestic terrorist acts they want to focus on. And I was sitting here like reading just all of these horrible Columbine, Sandy Hook, Las Vegas, all of these. Columbine and Sandy Hook, I mean, you're going to teach kids that are in school, hey, these people came in and shot up your school? Yeah, you fucking should, because mm-hmm. they're doing drills to prepare for that. Also, they're not idiots. They have the internet and parents that tell them these things. So it seems like you're rewriting history, which is what this administration is trying to do.
Dummy, really?
When you leave it out.
Yeah, see, it definitely seems intentional, especially because something like comparing, you know, treatment of different criminals. How do you explain the church shooter, the Charleston church shooter, like being taken to Whataburger and like carefully yeah. taken in, you know, versus how other people have been treated? But that's the beauty of wonderful teachers like you, Amber, is that if you have a vague standard like domestic terror, you'd be like, well, this is technically domestic. I mean, the FBI calls it domestic terror, yeah. so we're going to talk about it. But it's definitely should be a holistic part of why, because otherwise it's you're stripping context out of a yeah. debate. So then a student
a huge
might,
one.
Like you said, a student might be like, well, it doesn't, why would we even be arguing about gun control? It doesn't mm-hmm. even make sense. You're like, oh, baby, you have no idea yeah. what happens to these things.
Or why do we have to do all these drills and mm-hmm. lock ourselves in the classroom and turn off the lights and stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, Waco can be explained away like just a group of fanatics. They were a cult. OKC bombing is like one man that did this horrible thing that affected, you know, the whole city and adults and children too. The other ones involve schools or people of color. Las Vegas, I guess that was just, you know, they didn't target just people of color. It was kind of a free for all, but to not discuss those themes seems just obtuse. Like, and you're setting these children up, not you, because you're the teacher that all the children need. And I hope that the teachers that my kids get too. If they don't, then it's up to us to sit them down and explain these things and what a horrible thing to do. But I mean, even if they learned about in school, I would still talk to them. But it's just so obtuse. And if these children don't learn about these things, then when they're old enough to know what's going on or they're adults themselves, you haven't prepared them for the real world.
No, truly. And because a lot of times now the curriculums are tugged back and forth by political interests or shaped yes. by political interests.
Or complete scores on test. Mm-hmm. It's all about the star test is what it here is in Texas. And it's how public schools get funding, how mm-hmm. depending on how the scores are. So unfortunately, a lot of schools just teach for the test and yeah. leave out like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I was just going through. My mom was like, you know how parents get, she's like, I was going through a drawer and I found all your old school papers. I'm bringing them to you in a bag. And I was like, all right. And it had some like test results in it, but most of it was all like a thing I colored, a thing I glued, a thing I whatever. And as I was like flipping through it and then I had those test results, I was kind of like, oh yeah, we took a standardized test, like eventually, but at no point was it, we've got to really like, you know, the whole year we're really like working up to it. And granted, most teachers hopefully are able to work that in with also a reasonable curriculum, but there is a pressure certainly of like, you might not, you know, keep your job. We might not keep funding if these scores aren't high enough, to where a friend of mine got hired because the teacher before him, not a very bright guy, and in fact, like super asshole, like awful, cheated, straight up walked around during the tax test and, or the whatever, the star test, and was giving the kids answers. Like, you can't do that, buddy. He got fired, but it was good because my friend got a job. But that's how much pressure you almost probably feel like you might be under at certain points. To the whole Ten Commandments thing.
Fuck it. Fuck it so hard. I can't even. I said to Tommy yesterday, I'm ripping him down if I see him because I don't give a fuck.
Just take it down.
This is not supposed to be. It's a separation of church and state. And Moses and Mike Johnson on the same poster is so embarrassing. I'm going to popple myself into eternity.
It's crazy. Did Moses also have a porn app he shared with his son? Or was that just Mike
Johnson? Did Moses also like having sex with minors?
Did Moses also adopt a kid that he kept just for himself? No, that was just Mike. Did Moses also take his teen daughter to a weird wedding thing situation and talk about her genitals for a bunch of time with a bunch of strangers? That was just Mike Johnson. Well, as far as the Ten Commandments, the law was passed in Texas last summer. There were several lawsuits when it went into effect. The lawsuits are pending. The Fifth Circuit upheld the law and said that they could stay in classrooms. The Supreme Court struck down almost an identical law out of Kentucky in 1980, I believe. So at any rate, it sounds like the Fifth Circuit has said it is constitutional to do what in 1980 the Supreme Court said it was not constitutional to do. And therefore, regardless, it's probably going to the Supreme Court. So whether when it goes to the Supreme Court, they're going to say, look, we already talked about this, it's settled law in 1980, or if they're going to pull a Roe v. Wade and be like, we changed our mind and things are different now, that remains to be seen.
It does. I'm happy to jump on any civil lawsuit that's going on in my area, FYI. Maybe I'll create one of my own.
Let's do it. Me and you, we could get to the Supreme Court. We figured this out.
There are, I know for a fact, like people in this area that are involved in them. You know, I mean, we live in a, for the most part, red state, but Dallas is pretty blue. But even over here, I mean, it's still a crapshoot who your neighbor is.
Yeah, especially you start to, the farther north you get, the more not just gerrymandered, but also quite red it is. But Amber, thank you for the reminder that if you do have to put up the Ten Commandments, there's nothing stopping you from getting a life-size cardboard cutout of Teddy Roosevelt, because fuck that shit. And if you're a teacher who don't have a life-size cardboard cutout of Teddy Roosevelt, I'm sure Amber, respond to the comments on either Instagram or Patreon or somewhere and share, drop a link so other people can find,
you know,
their own cardboard cutouts.
Big heads.
Yeah.
Everybody, because if you're, nobody said it had to be in view. I don't know, maybe, but you put a big head over it and
put a big head. Or what if you go, I'm going to print it out myself, print it out in Webdings font. You guys remember Webdings, Wingdings, Wingdings, and Webdings? There's two kinds. So either one of those, emoji font.
Yeah.
And then
do it all in emojis.
Boom.
First of all, that's a fun challenge for me.
Ten Commandments.
I'm
going
to do all Ten Commandments and emojis and see what that looks like.
It's just X sign and then like a knife. Thou shalt not kill. Oh, man. Well, thank you for what you do, Amber, and not just teaching what you have to teach, but teaching what you feel compelled to teach with your conscience. We appreciate that. And all
absolutely
teachers.
You're the best type of teacher. And all of the teachers that listen, y'all are all the good ones, and the more good ones we have, the more good kids we have, and then that's the future generation, and that's how we change things.
Good teachers make students like Amelia, so we've got the all the generations working together. That's how we have Mama.
Thank you so much to everyone for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you need us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access to a whole catalog of bonus content that's for free members. And you just get to have all the fun with the raw videos before the old YouTube makes us cut stuff out. But we are on a little bit of a hiatus until May 3rd. So we'll be back on May 3rd for Sunday Scaries.
Can't wait.
Well, if you like our free episodes like the one you heard today, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That is where you join for a week at any of the tiers. You check out all of the perks, binge all the content, watch all the live streams, and then cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. The best time to do that is just before April 23rd at 8:30 p.m. Central, when our next, our April monthly live Q&A is going to be, because then if you do it a free trial, you get to join for free. But if you stick around to an annual membership, because you get 1 month free as well. And if you stick around, you get so much more.
You get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content that we let you vote on what you want to see, weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, and find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Hell yeah. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever you've done, we would love to celebrate with you by creating a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect when you don't want to leave the house. And it's always custom, freshly made every time. Go to the website www.cameo.com/sinisterhood to order yours now. Where can people see your beautiful face on the internet?
Well, I mean, you could Google it, because I don't really post pictures anymore. Yeah, you can go to YouTube. But I am on Instagram and Threads, where I rarely post. Sometimes I'll repost on Christy at Christy and Wallace, and I'm on TikTok, where I do repost quite a bit, at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.